Ready? Got sound? Let us pray and get started. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, open our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, we continue on in the apostolic aspect of this fivefold ministry gifts. We are basically talking about an apostolic environment, apostolic culture. Last week I started off and I gave you some of the duties executed by an apostle. I want to give you five more this week before we start our class. Last week I gave you the first five was together, to impart, to mobilize, to order, and to judge. Number six is that the apostle reforms. The apostles are reformers. They bring the necessary change to the house of God. Apostles are raised up during times of reformation. Number seven, the apostles build. Apostles are wise master builders, based on the scripture. The apostolic anointing is a building anointing. Apostles help build strong churches. They have been likened to general contractors. They are responsible for overseeing the construction of the house of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We may have covered the scripture last week, but we're going to look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. This is with Apostle Paul talking. I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So it goes back onto that scripture in Ephesians 2:20, where it said we have built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So after Jesus went away, someone had to continue to carry on the work that he left here. So he left it in the hands of the apostles and the prophets. And like I said, and then also the other three fivefold ministry gifts. The apostles bring revelation. Apostolic ministry is a ministry of revelation. Apostles bring insight to the body of Christ concerning the plans and purposes of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Again, I'm going to read from verse 1 and I go down through verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he's saying it was revealed to, first of all, because what's happening again? The apostles and the prophets are looking to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on earth. I keep stressing, I can't stress it enough, and bringing what heaven is in heaven and bringing that, the same thing that's on in heaven, he wanted here on earth. And again, that's why when Jesus asks us to pray, he asks us to pray that prayer, that his kingdom will come and that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that's God's purpose, that's God's plan toward us who are here. The number seven, number nine, I gave you number eight to bring revelation. Number man is to father. Apostles are spiritual fathers. As fathers, they birth, protect, teach, and mentor. They restore the principles of fatherhood to the church. They saw it. So if you look at our apostle, he's the things that the scripture is saying. He's mentoring, he's teaching, he's making declarations, he's changing doctrine, making sure that God's doctrine is correct in the church. He said re-establishing God's government. Under our apostle, we have something like 100, right now about 130 some ministers who falls under LTMA, which is Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association. And during this time, he's teaching this those ministers on Tuesdays of every month, one Tuesday out of every month. There's an impartation call that he's coming in and he's teaching and he's imparting to other ministers and other pastors this apostolic anointing. So when they go back to their place, their churches, that has been imparted to them, and the same thing that's on his life can be on their life and imparted to their membership. Number 10 is to lay the foundation. The apostolic anointing is a foundational anointing. It is a foundational anointing. Again, you can put Ephesians 2:20 there. Apostles lay foundation in the lives of God's people, preparing them for coming moves of God. Without apostolic ministry, people lack the proper foundation to grow properly. They lack a proper foundation to grow properly. So that may be one of the reasons that we have not seen all these signs and these wonders and these miracles that we see throughout Scripture happening in the church, because the foundation has not been correct. And so, but once we lay the foundation, once the foundation has been laid correctly, then what the Bible promised us, then we can begin to see those things manifest in the earth realm. So we haven't been taught this apostolic anointing. We have not been taught about the apostles. And so now God is returning, he's reforming, he's restoring that aspect of the kingdom back to the church. And for all of us who are hearing, Jesus always talked in the scripture. He said, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He said, I want to reestablish my government in the church. And when I reestablish my government in the church, As I set it up, then we can begin to see those signs and wonders manifest themselves in the church. So the last one is to lay the foundation. And so next week I'll cover some more. Let me go through some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. An apostolic environment focused on heaven, first of all, it's focused on heaven. Secondly, allowing prayer. One of the things our apostle is ministering and teaching us now, that everything that we do must be undergirded with much prayer. But we who are here at Word Life Christian Center, we have established prayer. The apostle came in yesterday and he wants at least 120 people on Monday nights praying from 7 to 8 o'clock. What he's saying? He said everything that he's saying is based on biblical principles. When the apostles, when they got the baptism in the Holy Ghost in that upper room, that was about 120 people in that upper room. So he said if you can get 120 people out, he's along biblical lines. On Monday through Friday, from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning, we have prayer in the sanctuary, main sanctuary. Anybody who's available comes out and they pray for one solid hour. They pray for an hour. Then they go home. Before every service, I'm saying he allowed prayer, bringing prayer back in the church. Before every service, there's a 30-minute prayer time before the services begin. So that's making sure that the individuals, we're creating an environment so God's presence can show up, creating an environment in ourselves so we can hear from God. The most important thing is to hear from God. So we are creating an environment so God can come in, and then that way we can hear what God is saying. Again, the most important thing is making sure that we hear what God is saying to us. That's more important than anything that the world, any TV, any reality show can show us, anything like that. So making sure that we hear from God. First of all, focus on heaven. Second is allowing prayer. Thirdly is worship. The most important thing is that we learn to worship God. Once we learn who God is, then, you know, we know how important he is. Turn to 1 Chronicles and week 29. Once we find out and know who God is, and then we can worship him, we can let him know how good he is to us. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11 is an awesome scripture here. And it's beginning at verse 11, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." So what you're doing, you're worshiping God. You're letting God know who he is. You're telling him how good he is. He said, verse 12 says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name." So it's important. God say in the midst of, where two or three are gathered in his name, he say he's there in the midst. So if we are all together as a corporate body worshiping God, if he's in the midst one of two, just how many, think how many, if the whole congregation is worshiping God, how much more? It's like that scripture in Isaiah where his train just keep coming and keep coming. The glory and the presence of God just keep showing up in that area. So, and again, the most important part, I'm going to show you a scripture. Moses, the most important part in his life was to see the presence of God. I'm going to get to that point, and I'm going to show it to you. And also to see miracles, signs, wonders to become normal in our daily life. Signs, miracles, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. So as we are ministering, as we're teaching, and as you're being trained in this supernatural environment, we're teaching on the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. And so God don't do things in the natural. Everything he did was supernatural. And when Jesus came, he was the express image of who God is. And so he wanted to show forth. He wanted the body of Christ to be the express image of who God is. That's who we are. And so he wants us to show the world who God is. That's how he expand his kingdom. That's how he build a kingdom, by training individuals to operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly the needs of the people. We saw over in Acts chapter 6. It's not designed to address directly the needs of the people. And when I say needs of the people, I'm talking more of a physical need, not necessarily a spiritual need. It addresses the spiritual needs of the people, but not the physical needs of the people. The perfect example, turn to Acts chapter 6. And I'll read from 1 through verse 4. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, and it says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration." That's their daily personal physical needs. They thought they was being neglected. And then the 12, that was the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they constantly, the apostles and the prophets, is constantly seeking heaven so they can find out what it is that God wants here on earth. They, you know, that's their main purpose. That's to find out again what heaven wants, what we want to happen here. God, what you want to happen here on earth? And so they are seeking God. He said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, and that's that apostolic anointing. That's that goals of the apostolic. Continually in prayer, seeking God, what you want, Lord, what it is you want, staying in his presence. And as he stayed in his presence, God is constantly communicating face to face, telling him what he needs and what he wants accomplished on the earth realm. This is what I want. This is what I want. And so he's to bring it back to the body and reestablish that in the church. Amen. The increasing needs of the people were a distraction to their role and anointing. So that's why they went out and they appointed, we gave them those names. We appointed Stephen and Philip and those other five men full of the Holy Ghost. And as we read through those scriptures, we saw that Philip did the same thing that the apostles done. Signs and wonders was following. Once they appointed them, signs and wonders began to follow those that they appointed to carry out those table waiting duties. Philip did it. Stevens did it. And so we'll find out as we take on this apostolic anointing, the same thing that's on the apostle's life comes off on your life. He's imparting that. That's how God set it up. That's how he gave them graces. That's what he put it in them for, so they could impart it to the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and 11 tells us that. It says it gave him apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, you can begin to see that. It'll line up, until we all come into the fullness of the stature. That's the bottom, last part. And so as we're growing, as we're learning, as we're training, we have come into that fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants on earth. He wants us to be just like Jesus was when he walked this earth. And the word of God, 1 John 3 and 8 say, Jesus was manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. And we know what the devil does. John 10:10 says, Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're not in that abundant life, part of the kingdom, we are in the wrong side of the kingdom. So we need to go back. Find out from God what it is I'm doing wrong. Because God has set it up for us. He already did everything that he was going to do for us. And so if we do find out what he wants us to do, then we can get back in track on God. And then we can find out. We can begin to see those signs. We can begin to see those miracles and those wonders. It is not that they did not care about the people, but they made sure that the needs of the people was taken care of in their community. That's why they appointed those seven men. And so the apostles had to have freedom to pursue heaven. I keep saying that. They have to have freedom to pursue heaven if he or she is to be effective, going to fulfill an apostolic call. So they have to have that freedom. They have to have, even though apostles are called to be pastors, some of them are teachers, some of them are prophets, some of them, they operate in all aspects of the fivefold ministry gifts. But the main thing that they are called to do after God recalled them is to be an apostle. And when they become apostle, then those things, they're seeking heaven. They want to find out what heaven wants, what it is they want here on earth. When an apostle pursues his or her calling without the other ministry graces, the other ministry graces. We're talking about the pastor, evangelist, and teacher, and the prophet. Without the other ministry graces in place, several issues creep into the environment and threaten success for the apostolic leader. And so if he doesn't surround himself with those other five four ministry graces, all five of them are put together as to so that we can do those things that God called us to do. As a unit, he said, I call them to be fivefold ministry gifts. And he said, further, turn over into Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at it again. And like I say, as we continue to see it, the Word of God, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And so over in Romans 10, 17, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. I always go back, we're right back where we started. It says here, Ephesians 4 and 11, and he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, a building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, talking about the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase in the body into the edifying of itself in love. And so he said that we all come into the unity. He said we all come into the unity of the faith. He said we become in one. He said we build ourselves up, just like Christ Jesus were when he was here on the earth. When I got there, the Holy Spirit pointed something out. He says that till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, of the knowledge. And he's saying that we have to know, we have to come to a point that we have complete knowledge of everything that Jesus did while he was here on earth and everything that Jesus did when he died on the cross, the things that he gave to. We have to have that knowledge. One of the things over in Hosea 4 and 6, God said, my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. And he said, he just didn't say they was perishing because of lack of knowledge. He said they rejected knowledge. And so we who are hearing what God is saying right now, we cannot reject what God is saying. God said, if you want to see those signs and those wonders begin to operate in your life, in your everyday life, not just in the sanctuary, not just from the apostles, but in your everyday life, as you're being trained in this apostolic environment, in this apostolic anointing, in this supernatural environment, being trained on the supernatural. That's why the Word of God says, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you never hear about the supernatural, if you're not being trained or taught about the supernatural, you cannot have faith to operate in the supernatural. So since we're being trained in it, we hear the word, Mark 4, the Word of God said, Jesus said, he said, the sower sowed the word. We're sowing the word on the supernatural. And since we're sowing the word on the supernatural, we're not going to allow, he gave it that parable of the sower. He was not going to allow Satan to come along and steal this word out of our heart. We're not going to let the cares of this world take this word out of our heart. This is the Spirit of God is ministering to us. He's telling us, this is what I want to happen in the earth realm. And so, and he get on down and he tells us as we continue in this thing, Mark 4:26, and he tells us how the kingdom of God operates. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and that seed springs up and grow, we know not how. He said, and he sleeps night and day, and he said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So he's saying, as you continue to hear, then you're going, this thing will come into your spirit, and it's going to begin to manifest fruit. You're going to begin to see it. Say, I got faith for it now. Since I got faith for it, I want to see it manifest. And so he still said, he talked about the knowledge. My people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. But then he goes on and he gives us something. Go turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter, beginning at verse 1. Here's another apostle talking. And again, we have to get back to this point. We have to find out. This is how God set it up. But he left it in the hands as revealed to those apostles. And apostles was come along and they begin to train the body of Christ how to operate in the kingdom. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning, it says, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's us. See, when he said through the righteousness of God, it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so we have that faith. He has given to every man the measure of faith. And so we have a right to hear and believe the word of God. We was born into this kingdom through faith. What said that? The word is nigh thee. Romans 10:8-9. He said, well, what's it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. So once we did that, we came into the kingdom. It was through faith that we came into the kingdom. And when we came into it, verse 2 says that grace, God's unmerited favor, when we talk about grace, we talk about God's unmerited favor, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So once we have complete knowledge, not just partial knowledge, complete knowledge of who he is, as we're being trained, as we're being taught what Jesus did when he walked this earth, those signs, those miracles, those wonders that he did. And then he didn't just leave it that way. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father, John 14:13. He said, because I go unto my Father. He says, so you should be able to do the same works that I did while I was here. But the only way you're going to do it, you have to have complete knowledge of what he did and how he did it while he was on earth. And so, again, that apostolic environment, that training is going to be able to give you that knowledge and understand. Verse 3 says, in 2 Peter verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Again, he said, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so again, when God gave us this dominion over in Genesis chapter 1. He created us in his image. He gave us dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth up on earth, over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea, and then he said over every creeping thing. So we had dominion. But then Adam came along, he gave it up. But Jesus had to come along and he brought it back to us. And so once we learn what he did for us, then we can begin to operate again in that. Turn to Genesis. They keep popping up in here. Genesis chapter 1. We can begin to know who we are and what we got and have knowledge of who we are. Then we can begin to operate the way Jesus did. When Jesus came, he knew who he was. And if we begin to know who we are, then we can operate like Jesus did while he was on earth. And part of this apostolic anointing, part of this apostolic culture, this apostolic environment is to train us to be what God wants us to be while we're here on earth. Here in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He said, in our image and after our likeness. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. So we're to have dominion. We was ministered on that part yesterday, and we was taught how to operate in the kingdom because we have this dominion. And so it says, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And so when Jesus came, he said, go into all the world and preach this kingdom to every creature. And he said, those who believe, he said, they can go out and they can lay hands. The ones who listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying, they can do what he did. We're created in his image. And like I said, Adam gave it up, and he gave it up to Satan, but then Jesus Christ came back along, and we have to know that. And so God said, through Jesus and what he did while he was here on earth, he put us right back in that position in the Garden of Eden, that we can have dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. That means that anything that comes against me, any adversary that comes against me, I have dominion, I have authority over those things. Let's go on to a little bit further here. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in the environment and the lifestyle of the saints, because God's presence is the top priority. In an apostolic environment, God's presence is the top priority. So if God's presence is top priority, then we're finding out God's showing up. Then guess what? He's not just showing up empty-handed. He's showing up in with all of his protection. He's showing up with all of his provisions. He's showing up with all his power. He's showing up with all his plans and all of his purposes. So when he shows up, he's not just, like I said, again, he's just not showing up empty-handed. The presence of God is top priority. And so when I begin to see things and I ask God to show us things, we begin to pray that prayer in Ephesians. And if it's something that I don't understand or something I don't know, I say, Lord, show it to me. Reveal to me. You say, you know, I can ask. If I, you know, 1 John 5:14-15 say, if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, the petitions that I ask you for, I know that you're going to give them to me according to your will. And so when we pray something, and then I know the prayers are legal. And then now what I can do, because it's a legal prayer that I'm seeking God, I'm asking God for, and then I know I can make a demand on that thing. I can make that demand. God can put it in his word. And he said, let us sit down and reason together. I said, Lord, you put it in your word. Show it to me. Let me see it. Action. So turn to Exodus. Chapter 33. I'm meditating, reading this scripture and praying about it. And God began to show me some things in here. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to read a couple of verses, then we're going to skip over. Exodus 33, this is Moses, which we can look at. He was in the form of an apostle, because he was establishing God's kingdom in the earth realm at that time. Moses was the man God used at that particular time. It said, and the Lord said unto Moses, beginning at verse 1, he said, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, into the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed, I will give it. And I will send an angel. That's what God said. God said, I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Let's turn over to a verse 12. God told Moses he was going to send an angel with him. And we know an angel is a warrior. And if you got an angel on your side, you know, you still undefeatable. And I made a statement. I say, in this apostolic environment, God's presence is the most important part of that environment. It makes sure that God's presence is on the scene. So, like, again, God brings everything, all his attributes with him. He brings everything with him when he comes. He brings his glory with him. And so in verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, he said, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. God told him in the first verse, he said, I'm going to send an angel with him. And so he said, thou wilt not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. God was talking to Moses face to face here. In verse 13, he said, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight. He said, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. God said, my presence will go with thee. So God was talking to Moses talking to God face to face here. And so God came back and he said, my presence will go with thee. And so he goes on to say, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not up with me, he said, carry us up not hence. He said, I don't want to go up. He done already told him, I'm going to send an angel with you. So if you got an angel on your side, you should, you know, basically we should have everything that we need. But the most important, again, the most important part is having God's presence with you. You know, if God's presence with you, everything that you need is going to be there. And so Moses said, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For therein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And that's one of the things the apostolic environment is training us to be. Different from the world system. Different from what you see in your everyday life. When you walk into an environment, that environment is supposed to change. If chaos is in that environment, that chaos is supposed to become peace. It's supposed to be just like Jesus. And you speak to that situation. Like Jesus, when that storm came up, he was out on the ship. He said, peace, be still. And that winds, everything there, just calm down. Same thing in us. We carry this. God is on the inside of us. And since he's on the inside of us, we're supposed to be, when we walk around this earth, we're supposed to be just like Jesus was when he walked this earth, doing the exact same thing. And so that's because of what? We have a knowledge of who we are, and we have a knowledge of who Jesus is in us. And he goes on to say, in verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, he said, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So one of the things that we've been saying, God, show us your glory. We've been having show me your glory conferences here throughout this apostolic. So what the apostle is restoring the things that God did in previous times. So this is a legal prayer that we can ask God. We can go to God now. We have confidence. We can have confidence that we ask him. 1 John 5:14. Let's go over that. We can have absolute confidence that if we ask God to show us his glory, that he will show it to us, because that's what he promised us in his word. 1 John 5. So we can do like Abraham. We can become fully persuaded that what God has promised us, that we know he's also able to perform it. Here in 1 John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So if you put it in his word as part of his will, then if we're asking for it, he's going to hear us. He have to hear us because that's what he said in his word. He said, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." And so now, that's one scripture. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. John 15:7. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done." And so that, again, so we see it in the scripture. We got God's word in us. That's what he said. He said we can ask him to show us his glory. That's his will for us. Sickness and disease come up on your body. Again, if it comes up on your body, we are in this apostolic environment. We're being trained. We're being taught how to operate in this environment. We have dominion. We have dominion over sickness and disease. Again, God says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. A voice of a stranger, they will not hear. So when the enemy comes and he throws, even your loved ones, and he throw up these deceptions, I call them deceptions, on you, you can go back and find out what the word says. He says, he was wounded. Again, he was wounded for my transgressions. That's what Jesus said. That's what the word says. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was up on him, and with his stripes, I am healed. Done deal. Already taken care of. But if I allow the enemy to come and throw sickness, deception, a world system, Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Perfect will of God. 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So he want us, God want us healthy, and he want us prosperous. That's the word of God. That's what he says in his word. And so I take him at his word. Ain't going to return him void. He's going to prosper in the thing where you send it unto. And then again, in our lesson yesterday, as we was going, and one of the things that we find out, we can do it. We're responsible for making these things happen in our lives. They're not just going to come and just because we see it in the word. There's something that we have to do. We have to activate. One in Joshua 1:8 say, "This book of the law shall not depart out of our mouths but and out of our eyes." But we meditate in it day and night. And then we make our way prosperous, and then we have good success. Good success. That means what I'm seeking God for is going to manifest in my life. This is part of this apostolic anointing. That's what Jesus understood. That's what he knew. He came to manifest God in the earth realm. That's who God is. God is a good God. Let's turn and look at one more scripture here. Let's read a little bit further in this Exodus 33. I gave you some notes from the book, but this is a Bible study, training center, so we're learning what the Word of God says. It says in 19, he said, "I beseech thee, show me," verse 18, "show me thy glory." And he said, God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place in me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take my hand away, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not see." But God told him, he said, you know, when he asked him to show us his glory, what did he say? He said, "I'm going to make my goodness." See, there's no evilness in God. God is all good. He said, "I'm going to make my good pass before you." And so when we ask God to show us his glory, guess what he's going to do? He's going to show us his glory, his goodness, how good he is. And that's what we have a right to pray those prayers. Let's see. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Let that be your meditation scripture for this class. And so, again, it goes along with what we were talking about. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Be your meditation scripture. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers, but we now become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Who have tests next week? The class have tests? Okay. So we have three quizzes. And so we can study from the three quizzes, whether it's the one from the night, the two previous ones, and the one from the night. We can study from those, and y'all shall make 100. Amen. Yeah.